Part 2. Questions 13 to 22. Section 1. Questions 13 to 17. You will hear 5 short recordings. For each recording, decide which aspect of conducting interviews each speaker considers particularly important. Write one letter, A to H, next to the number of the recording. Do not use any letter more than once. After you have listened once, replay the recordings. You have 15 seconds to read the list A to H. Now listen and decide which aspect each speaker considers important. Thirteen.
We all forget how hard interviews can be. Applicants walk into a strange room and face what can be a long line of unknown people who fire a lot of tricky questions at them. It's not surprising that their minds go a complete blank. If you're the interviewer and you make an effort to put the interviewees at their ease, then they're more likely to express their opinions coherently and give you a chance to assess them properly.
14.
Interviews are often too theoretical. You get the applicant's views on, for example, the principles of marketing, and then throw in some tough questions to see if they're up to speed on the latest developments. But introducing a hands-on activity can be more telling, because then you can assess how they approach everyday activities. I know some people argue that at senior level it's a waste of time and you should be checking how they deal with clients and colleagues, but I'm not convinced.
15.
You have perhaps 30 minutes to assess an applicant. I think considerable work needs to be done beforehand with the CVs, checking if they have appropriate qualifications and so on. What you can't get from the application, though, except from references, and I don't find those very reliable, is an idea of how people act in the workplace. I focus on that by asking questions, which should reveal how they'd react in different circumstances and with a variety of colleagues.
16.
Interviewing isn't something I'm good at, I'm afraid. I don't trust my own judgment for such important decisions. That's why I usually have about 5 other people with me. Not necessarily from the particular department, though. I realise this prevents me from making the interview seem like an informal chat, but I'm not sure of the overall benefit of that. Perhaps it provides an insight into how the applicant thinks and behaves outside work, but that's not crucial.
17.
One's trying to assess so many different aspects of potential employees. Time's limited, and you can get bogged down in asking challenging questions relevant to particular duties in the job description. It's easy to forget to allow time for applicants to find out things that are relevant to them. It's sometimes seen just as a courtesy or a way of making them feel comfortable, but it can give you real insight into how they think and react to the post.
Now listen to the recordings again. Section 2. Questions 18 to 22. You will hear another 5 recordings. 5 speakers are talking about problems with a project. For each recording, decide what the problem was. Write one letter, A to H, next to the number of the recording. Do not use any letter more than once. After you have listened once, replay the recordings. You have 15 seconds to read the list A to H. Now listen and decide what each problem was.
Well, we'd put together what we thought was an excellent team for the project. That is, until we hit technical problems and realised that we needed staff with a wider range of specialised technical experience than the people we'd recruited. So we had to advertise again to replace some key members of the team. We were lucky that we'd just about managed to cover the extra costs within the budget. Our customers were very satisfied with the outcome.
Although we had minor problems with suppliers from the start, these were easily overcome. Initially, I thought we'd underestimated the cost of the project, as it was so tight most of the time. But we managed to avoid an overspend. It was a very stressful time. However, it was the breakdowns which really upset the staff, and I wouldn't have blamed them if they'd walked out on strike the fifth time it happened in a week.
20.
Generally speaking, we have an excellent project management team trained to deal with any unexpected problems. You know, like when the money runs out or the client wants something different from the original agreement. Unfortunately, we hadn't anticipated the component manufacturer going out of business. The purchasing manager was furious because there were so few companies who produced exactly what we wanted. However, finally, we found a replacement that enabled us to keep within the limits of our budget.
21.
We've done several projects in this country, and the best thing about working here is that suppliers are very helpful. If you are unhappy with anything, they immediately try and sort it out. If, for example, a digger broke down, they'd replace it within hours and at no extra cost. Another thing is there is no shortage of suitably qualified workers. But we had an expensive delay on our last project because we'd miscalculated the size of the workforce we needed.
22.
We spent so much time making sure that our employees would be comfortable working in such difficult conditions. We warned them about what to expect, as well as checking that they had the right qualifications and experience. We thought we'd anticipated every possible problem. This time, we were proved wrong when the supplier sent us different trucks from the ones ordered. Although they coped well with the extreme conditions, they were too small for our needs.
22. Now listen to the recordings again. That is the end of part 2.